Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours.
Children for years and years and years, and then I took a step down and started pastoring adults. The children believed anything I told them. The adults wanted to prove it with the Bible or something. I don't know. This song, I've just been singing this song for two or three days, and it just has four lines. I'm going to teach this one to you. But it says, Lord, I'm thankful to you. And then it says that again. Lord, I'm thankful to you. For everything you've done and all you're gonna do. For everything you've done, for all you're gonna do. Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful to you. That's just been on my heart. Lord, I'm thankful to you. Sing it again. Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful to you. For everything you've done. For everything you've done, for all you're gonna do, Lord, I'm thankful to you. Now let's sing Love, I'm Thankful. Love, I'm thankful to you. I want you to feel it in your heart. Love, I'm thankful to you. For everything you've done, for everything you've done. All you're gonna do, love, I'm thankful to you.
How about life?
Life, I'm thankful to you. I'm glad to still be here. Life, I'm thankful to you. Every day is a blessing for all that you have done and all you're gonna do. I'm sorry. Life, I'm thankful to you. Family, I'm thankful to you. Don't you love your family? Family, I'm thankful for you. For everything you've done. For everything you've done. And all you're gonna do. Family, I'm thankful. I know a bunch of y'all call him different names. I'm going to call him Bishop for this song. Bishop, I'm thankful to you. Thankful to you. For everything you've done and all you're going to do. Bishop, I'm thankful to you. Now let's sing that again. I'm going to think of something ugly. Bishop, I'm thankful to you. My mother-in-law, not anything. You got it. Bishop, I'm thankful to you. It's just so I won't cry, okay? For everything you've done and all you're going to do. Bishop, I'm thankful to you.
We need to take time, y'all. It's Thanksgiving week, and we need to take time to just be thankful to our dog and our friends and our neighbors and our family and our hairdressers and our tax preparers and our pastors and bishops and the people who cook for us and love on us. And we're just so blessed to be so surrounded. Get back over here. No, nobody Velcroed my pedal down. I'm just so thankful. I'm thankful for sound men today. I set up all the sound equipment thinking about all the years. All the years that I didn't have to set up my own sound system, and I'm so thankful for that. And the folks, yeah, Pastor Avery showed up about 4 a.m. and started cleaning chairs. She woke me. I could hear her outside in the yard blowing leaves. I'm thankful for you, Pastor Avery. I'm so thankful for all of you. And, you know, in the spirit, listen to this. If you don't hear anything else today, listen to this. You'll hear the dressing in a minute in your mouth going, mm. But listen to this. Nothing is ever, ever lost in the Spirit. You never did anything that failed. You never, ever were part of anything that was not successful, because you are life and love, And everything your hand has ever touched prospered. And you can't see all that sometimes. Sometimes I drive by my 60-acre complex with lots of buildings and ball fields and nice stuff, and I think, And sometimes I drive down I-20 and look over there and say, in Conyers. But you know what? Yesterday, when I was hanging that cross right up there that used to hang behind your chair at West Avenue and beyond, I've got the other one in my house, but I was hanging that cross up there, and you may not recognize that wreath, but it came from Church in the Now. Somehow Debbie and some of the girls one day said, take that stuff out of my way. So I took some stuff out of the way. I think Pastor Avery slipped in some extra stuff. Thank you, Pastor Avery. When I think I bought $2,000 worth and took home $4,000 worth of stuff. But all the Christmas decorations you see in this room, except for this tree, came from Church in the Now. Every word you've ever spoken, everything you ever bought, everything you ever... Don't waste time regretting something because it didn't come out like you thought it was going to. It still came out just right. Nothing's out of order. That's the hardest lesson I've learned this year, but it's one that's been repeated to me over and over again, that nothing's out of order and nothing in the Spirit is ever lost. You couldn't if you wanted to. Couldn't if you wanted to. You didn't mess it up. I know you spend time sometimes thinking about relationships you wished you'd held on to. No, you don't. It is what it is, it was what it was, and it's going to be what it's going to be, and it's all good. I don't regret a minute of anything I've done. I don't regret any part of my foundation. Sometimes I think, boy, if I hadn't wasted that 15 years at that Methodist church, I might have, got somewhere greater. Oh, my Lord, I'm so glad I went there. I'm so thankful that I got I'm glad I know every hymn that I know and every chorus. I was listening to a tape of myself in 1990, prophesying to people for 2.5 hours at some church the other night, and I was just thinking, is that even me, and how can you do that, and is that even possible, and is that even real, and is it even... But I have Facebook friends that whose lives were changed by that thing back then, and it's a different flavor than who I am now, but it's all part of, like, we're going to have covered dish in a minute, all these amazing different dishes, and the blend when you get a bite of this and a bite of that, and about this, that's our lives, and how beautiful are these lives. And maybe yours is in a hard spot right now. I know some of you are battling things in the physical realm and the financial realm in different places, but honey, this is all part of this amazing mix. And then this whole life on earth is just one bite of your eternal existence, which goes on and on. This is nothing but a side order of green beans, this earth thing. I mean, we're going way beyond this, but I'm so thankful that in this little bite of food, I get to taste y'all. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, not just Jesus, but y'all, the Lord, the Savior of my life, my family, my friends, and my bishop, my pastor. Taste to see today, yeah, and look at creation, and it's just beautiful, and I'm just sappy, and I'm gonna close with one more song. Okay, here we go. I wrote this little song, and it's going to be an entrance way into something that Bishop and I were discussing last night, that he may flow that direction, and he may not, and it doesn't matter. But this is sort of a testimony song, and it kind of asks some questions, and I don't even answer all the questions, but it's one that I wrote a little while back, and maybe to help you. I should have brought a clothespin down here. I used to live on the banks of the Christian River. I grew up here, and by the God, he was a blessing giver. But the preachers I knew never could explain why children starved and there was so much pain. Then I grew up and outgrew the place I remembered. It's a dying ember, but the wind of the Spirit is blowing. And I find myself dancing in the fields of knowing, where my view of the prospect of God is growing and growing. It's not shrinking. God's not getting smaller. He's getting bigger. And the source of life is too big to be explained in a book or a God on a throne with a Jewish name. And I'm feeling things in my heart that I can't explain. And it doesn't matter what I believe, you're thinking, oh my God, yes it does. Well, maybe not. We'll see. So I put religion on the shelf, and I love my neighbor as myself. I try to help others when I'm able. Everybody's welcome at my table. My namastes and my hallelujahs are turned to a simple I love you. I traded in praying to meditate. If God is good, then child, this is great. It's a dying ember, but the wind of the Spirit is blowing. And I find myself dancing in the fields of knowing, where my view of the prospect of God is growing and growing. And the source of life is too big to be contained in a book or a God on a throne with a Jewish name. And I'm feeling things in my heart that I can't explain. And it doesn't matter so much what I believe. Love's what matters. It doesn't matter so much if I have all the doctrines and the dogmas and the things written down and added up. It doesn't matter anymore if somebody else believes something else and it's not what I believe. And I'm not trying to convince anybody or convert anybody or change anybody. It doesn't matter. Love is what matters. And that's just kind of a little testimony song. Thank you, thank you, thank you. There's no introduction necessary. My friend and Bishop and Pastor Jim Ross Swilly, come and bring us a good word. Yay. I'm just going to stay right here so I can make faces if I agree with you or don't.
Everybody hear me? Listen, can we just stop for a minute? And I was like, if you're from Metron, would you meet somebody that you haven't met before? Because I know there's some people that are here with the bridge. And if you need to walk around for a second, but part of the reason we get together today,
I'm gonna turn everything else down,
is to connect with each other.
And just turn him up. Good. Something's going on. I'll turn the piano down. That's good.
I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. The doors of heaven's windows have been opened. I don't remember the words to it. Hey, beautiful girl. And brother, it's happening right now, not just any day. Hey. That's a good loving on each other song. Where's Chloe? There's Chloe.
All right. On three, let me hear the name of somebody you just met. 1, 2, 3.
Jesus.
All right, all right, all right. Can you maybe seat it?
Who are you sitting with?
Angel. I'm
going to. Okay, I love you.
I want to stay with you.
Well, you want to sit with Angel or stay up here?
Stay up here.
All right, come right here.
Feel free to snuggle up to somebody who looks warm.
Let me make one announcement. I'm so sorry to interrupt. I ordered a porta potty and it did not get delivered. I was out of town until yesterday morning. Don't touch that. Until yesterday morning at 4 a.m. or 6 a.m. we got here. But if you need a restroom, my house is open to you. There's a golf cart sitting right there. And Boone, raise your hand. This is Boone on the front row. Boone's going to drive you up. If you don't know how to drive a golf cart, just come tag Boone. But you're welcome to use my restroom or the trees. We don't care.
Women, but if you're a guy,
nobody cares.
Nobody's gonna think anything about it. We're outside. It's fine.
And just don't mind the deer cams that we have everywhere.
Somebody needs to come in and fill in the rest of this pew so our pictures are gonna be better. So
come on, it's pack a pew Sunday. Y'all come on up here. Pack a pew, pack a pew.
I don't like the gap.
We got to go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in.
All right, there's still space for a couple more people. Bryant, come up here and sit up,
Bryant. Call out, Bryant. Boom!
Come on.
We want some people that comb their hair. If you combed your hair, come sit right up here. Brian.
See, isn't that so much better? So much better.
I love y'all.
I'm going to say one thing about the phrase "lighten the loafers." You can say that. Nobody else gets to say that.
My mama said that. My mama always said that.
Some people can say to their own tribe that people outside of that tribe are not allowed to say. What was it, Charles, you said to me the other day? I was talking about mystic gaze.
Yes.
G-A-Z-E.
Yes.
And he said, "Aren't you my mystic gaze?" I said, "Oh, I always think of you as the mystic gaze."
Shh. Can't talk. Can't talk up here.
I said, "You get one of those." And that's it for the year. Listen, I want to stay on task because I've got, I'm going to bring the room down, but I do have a funeral service to go do. Don't quote him on this, Robert said, "That was so inconsiderate of somebody who died. I'm going to do anything to keep you away from it." But, so I do want to stay on task because we'll have to be on the road, but let me say, first of all, this is, you know, Robert has a real revelation of the concept of a table in the wilderness. You read that in Psalm 78, and this is really kind of a metaphor for it. It's not just a physical tabernacle, and even the idea of a tabernacle means that it's open to everybody. The temple had walls. The temple had an inner court, an outer court. There was a tabernacle, which is really what in Acts 15 he says, "In the last days I'll establish a tabernacle with David," meaning everybody would be welcomed there. Even the symbolism of when Jesus was crucified and the veil in the temple was rent in two, they just meant there's no more barriers. Right. Yeah, it's a little chilly today, but I'm happy to be in a place where there's no walls. Right. It's just, yes, there's something symbolic about it. Right. I love when we meet in the theater every day, because to me there's something symbolic about a theater and vision and that kind of thing. But there's something about a tabernacle that's just awesome. And once again, we bless you, Robbie Joe, and the girls, beautiful. Yep. Wesley, Joe, and Chloe, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like I know you because I look at all your pictures on Facebook.
Okay.
So we thank you for being here. There's several people I want to thank. Obviously, I want to thank the tech team for coming out. I want to thank Robert and Robbie Joe have been on tour all this week with a ministry. Just got back yesterday. The person who was supposed to be catering for them, her brother died. So she was able to be here, and most of you remember Sandra Brown from Church of the Now. Sandra was our Jehovah Rapha, our Ram in the thicket.
Yes.
He came through for us.
Thank you, Jesus.
So that was great. And Francis brought food. I know some of the rest of you brought food as well. So thank you for doing that. But what he had planned for, she came and did it. So whatever you brought, I thank you for it, and we are most grateful. And since you did mention Avery, I was thinking when I drove up, regardless of anything you read on Facebook, let me tell you, when I write to somebody and say, "Many are called and few are chosen," that's what I'm talking about. When I drove up this morning, a little after 10 o'clock, those signs were out there on the road.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. That's not about anything more than that. If you read anybody's post who says otherwise, they clearly don't know me and are sadly misinformed. And so for the rest of you who are faithful, I can't thank you enough for all that you do, and I just love you so much. Thank you.
Yeah.
Just thank you. And I don't really, you know, we had talked about possibly flowing together. This is what I feel like saying. I feel like what you've ministered already has been very powerful. These songs are, they're amazing.
Yes.
And first time I ever met Robert in 1981, in my first conversation I said, "I've never met anybody like you." And here in the year 2017, I'm watching you do your thing, and I think there's none like you. There is none like you. This planet was very blessed when Robert was born, and so we just once again thank you. We honor you. This is just what I want to share. It was in my heart today. We're in Metron. I'm in a series right now about letting your yes be yes and your no be no, and I don't remember. I've taught on it years ago, but I don't remember when something has personally affected me so much. I mean, it really, I can feel it's reshaping my brain chemistry. It's changing the way that I think. It's changing the way that I think. Jesus said, anything that is not of yes and no is where all evil comes from. So it's that middle ground. Even when Jesus wrote to the Laodicean church, he said, "You're neither hot or cold." He said, "I actually would rather you be cold than lukewarm."
Yeah. Yeah.
And we used to always hear that preached about, don't be a lukewarm Christian, you'd be on fire for Jesus. What that means to me now is pick a reality and commit to that. Yes. And if you're going to say something, then say it and mean it. Yep. Like Martha Greer, she texted me and said, I'm coming today. And she showed up. She came today. That's what I'm talking about. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Yep. Be good for your word. Jackie, the book that you recommended to me, I noticed Cheryl posted about it last night, The Four Agreements.
Yes.
And one of it says, be something with your word. Be pristine with your word or something like that. And it's basically saying the same thing. If you say you're going to do something, do it. And I was thinking last night about the power of words because we, Ken had a physical thing going on last week. And I didn't see him all week. He just didn't feel good enough to drive from Eaton to Atlanta, so he stayed up there. And so I was really, really happy he came Friday night. We went out to eat, and it was great. And he was feeling good. He's back to himself again. Thank you, by the way, for praying. And it really does make a difference. And so we were going to see a movie, and we went to see that. It's the sequel to Daddy's Home, Daddy's Home 2, with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg, and even Mel Gibson's in it. He's kind of trying to make a comeback. And John Lithgow played their dads. And, you know, I don't like to review comedies because it makes me sound like an old, I don't want to say old fart, but it makes me sound like, because I don't think, there's just rarely a movie I go to now that I think is funny. I mean, yeah. It's just like, right. Really? There's so few funny movies.
Right.
It's probably better for me not to go to a comedy. When I go see them, I'd see that everything that was actually funny was in the trailer,
yeah.
And I already saw it.
Right.
So this was what it was. I mean, it was, Will Ferrell couldn't be completely unfunny. So yes, it does have some laughs in it, and it's unusually clean, and it has a really, if you've got any blended family issues, it's got a really affirming message for how blended families should get along together. So it has its merits. So I have a movie blog. I didn't actually care enough about it to write on it. I just wanted to write a little something about it on Facebook. The reason I do that is, I know I'm not Roger Ebert, but there are a lot of people who tell me, I wait to see if you like a movie. If you say it's good, I go see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you don't like it, I don't go see it. So, I mean, I do have, whether people like it or not, I have a following of people who care what I think about movies.
Right.
And I didn't go to film school, but I know a little something. I know about the Bible and movies.
Yeah. And Broadway. Yeah.
But in history. Politics and philosophy.
In Atlanta.
But that's all. That's all I don't know. I know some about music and art.
And fashion.
So I wrote a little something. I didn't want to throw it under the bus because it's not bad. It's not a bad movie. Because I have given a bad, like I went to see one that was so bad, I actually wrote that Schindler's List was funnier.
Oh.
But this wasn't bad.
That was real bad.
But it wasn't like I would just go, oh my God, you've got to see it. Yeah, we split our sides laughing. It wasn't that either. So I posted, it was okay. And I said, here's what's positive about it. And anything, John Lithgow's amazing in anything. And, you know, Will Ferrell's always funny in some way. And so when I went back and read it, I thought, you know, it's interesting. And this is why spirit is important, why it's important to rightly divide the word. Mm-hmm. It's why sometimes you misunderstand a text somebody sends you. Because when you read, it was okay, that could sound anyway.
Right.
I was telling Ken last night, I said, listen to these two phrases. If I said, we tried out this new restaurant, and somebody said, well, how was it? I could say, it was pretty good. If I say it like that, that doesn't sound like you want to get in the car and go.
Yeah.
It sounds like we ate, there was food,
yeah.
But those are the only words. It was pretty good. Four words.
Yeah.
If I said, we tried out this new restaurant, and you said, how was it? I go, it was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds like we weren't expecting much, but we were pleasantly surprised. It was really good. That sounds like, not like you better get in the car and go right now, but if I say, it was pretty good, and you value my opinion, you may go check it out. Now, isn't that amazing? It's the same words.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Right.
If I said, it was okay, or it was okay,
right.
Meaning it might not have been the best thing in the world, but it was okay.
Right.
And it's interesting, and I understand why Paul said the letter kills what the spirit gives life. Because you can take the same, like some people take the Bible and they kill other people with it. Other people take the Bible and they set people free with it. Why? They're the same words. It's because the letter kills what the spirit gives life. I just recently, and I didn't realize, I made that in 2000. I was thinking I made it more recently, but I made a Christmas album years ago. And I just, at the time, I didn't like the way it was produced. I just was unhappy with it. And I had really high expectations for it. And I remember the first time I listened to it, I was really disappointed, but the money had been spent and it was worth it. So, because I'm so transparent, I said, you know, I can't, that's just Akins. The sky's not falling. I said, you know what, you can buy it if it's not that good. Don't buy it. And guess what? People didn't. The media department at the time, they were furious with me because if I said, I'm going to tell you something, this is the best thing I've ever done, people would go buy it. If I said, people didn't. So I've kind of had this love-hate relationship with it over the years. But the last several years, people have said, you know, just so you know, that's my favorite Christmas album. We listen to it every year or whatever. So I got it out and listened to it, and I thought, you know, it was okay. It was pretty good. So if somebody said, is a good album, I can say, it was okay. Meaning,
it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a couple of things. I wish I'd done a note differently or whatever, but it's not nearly as bad as I remembered. And I was way too hard on myself at the time. So I'm thinking about that. And so I was playing it, because I haven't listened to it in years. I just couldn't bear to listen to it. But I was listening to it in the car one day. I pick up my granddaughter several days a week from school. This particular day, Olivia hadn't gone to school. She didn't feel good. So I picked up the older one, Sophia, who's 10. So she says, Puppy, is this you? And I said, yeah, that's me. And so we're listening. And so all the songs, I don't have any Santa Claus songs. And it's all about the virgin birth and the incarnation. So it's a very, you know, if you grew up in Sunday school, you hear those concepts. That's, we're used to it. But, my granddaughters are pretty much raised, I mean, the only time they ever hear preaching is when Christina brings them the Metron. They don't go to Sunday school. And frankly, I don't want them to go to Sunday school. I don't want them to go sit in some church and hear about stuff that I don't even believe anymore. So I'm fine, I'm fine with that. But she got in the car and, you know, kids put you on the spot. So she looks at me and she's listening to the lyrics of one of the songs. She goes, Poppy, is Jesus God? Well, that's a big question, but especially to a 10-year-old. So I'm thinking, I mean, I paused for a minute because I thought, whatever I tell her, she's going to believe. And she's going to believe for the rest of her life. And there was a time I would have said a specific thing, but I said, yes, Jesus was and is God. And I explained to her, I said, my definitions of God are a little bit different than what you hear in traditional churches. And I said, like when you learn in science that there was evolution, I do believe that. And I do believe the earth probably is millions, perhaps billions of years old. So your teachers aren't wrong when you... That messes kids up when Sunday school's telling them one thing and school's telling them something else. She's a really smart, she's very scientific, whatever. I said, so that is true, but I do believe in intelligent design. And I think the way everything evolved was so sophisticated that there had to be a mind behind it. And that's what I call God. I said, now people in antiquity, because they believed men were authority figures, they ascribed a man's idea to him. So it was a father, a man. And so when Jesus comes in a patriarchal world, he's a son of a father. I'm the son of God. And I said, so that is a part of God, but that's not all of who God is. And so she said, it's like Jesus is like the avatar of God. And I said, yeah, okay. So I'm explaining to her, and I said, and furthermore, at a certain time, Jesus said, it's necessary that I go away. So that idea of God left, and the point was so that we could all become that. We're all supposed to be God in the earth. And I said, what really matters is that you do the good things that Jesus did, and you love God with all of your heart, and love your neighbors, you love yourself. I've never seen her look at me like this. She stared at me for the longest time. She said, Poppy, you're the smartest man I know. Aww. You need a podcast. But I loved it because I thought, what I just told her, I deeply believe. I really do believe
it.
And I said, yes, Sophia, there's something where the people call it a higher power. I said, yes, there is something bigger than us that I said, I will still refer to it as he, because that's the language everybody understands. But it's something in all of us. Like when you cry out to something and you need something that's bigger than you and it answers you back, that's God. And I said, those people in the Bible had a certain understanding of it, but they didn't have all the understanding of it. And I said, the way you love science and everything, God, I said, David said, the heavens declare the glory of God. God is speaking through nature. I just loved that I could tell her, because I'm not an atheist. I don't want her to be an atheist. I want her to believe in God. I don't want her to believe in something that she's going to have to work through and undo. And why are people so mean? And I explained to her the word namaste. I said, there are other people who see God differently, and it's okay. It's like we believe God in a certain way. They have another idea. It was just, it just was such an important moment. I'm not the kind of grandfather that was, I'm not going to, if I ever have a grandson, I'm not going to take him fishing. I'm not. Like when first time Jared went fishing, my dad said, are you okay with me introducing him to fishing? I said, trust me. Enjoy. Because Dad was so infinitely more patient with Jared than he was with me. I said, for him, it will be a pleasant experience. For me, I'm still working it out in therapy, but that's a good thing. But the way I want to tie that in together with Thanksgiving, and then I'm gonna break a little early, unless you have something to add. I'm thankful that we're in a place, like when you're singing today, you didn't say Jesus a whole lot. But I feel the presence of God here. I feel the Holy Spirit here. You know, Jesus, if you want to believe there's a 33-year-old man with long hair and a beard that's going to be wearing a robe when you get to heaven, if that's what you believe, I don't want to take that away from you. But, you know, when John had a revelation of Jesus, he didn't look like the man that walked get the shores of Galilee. And he had a voice that sounded like many waters, and his eyes were a flame of fire, and his hair was like wool. And then you fast forward in chapter 19, he says, I saw him. He was coming from a white horse, which we used to believe was literal. But he said, and he had a name written on him that was called the Word of God. Right. And he was called Faithful and True. And he had a name written on him that nobody knew but he himself. So this idea that my idea of God is right and you're completely wrong and I've got to damn you to hell for it, that's not even supported in the Scriptures. Because when Paul had a revelation of going to heaven, he said, I went to something I call the third heaven. Because back then they believed the earth was flat.
Right.
They had no idea that we were living on a globe. So they thought this was the first heaven, and there was a outer space, and then there was a third heaven. He said, I went there, and it was 25 years ago, and he said, I was shown unspeakable things. I do believe there is an afterlife. If you need to believe that there's streets of gold and gates of pearl, I believe that's symbolic. If you need to believe that's literal, that's fine. I mean, I can sing those songs and love. That's what we were talking about last night, is singing those songs about heaven that I still love. I mean, I grew up on Donnie Rambo songs, and every one of them is about going to heaven and putting on new shoes or whatever. I love them. I listen to them all the time. But even today, and I believe this is, I can't imagine anybody would stream this and be offended with me saying this. If you did, please understand I'm saying this with a pure heart. But I get the impression that the people who that I'm doing the funeral for, they left the church some time ago, but still consider me their pastor. And there's a whole generation of people that are like that. So, fine. It is what it is. But I get the impression, putting two and two together, that the young man who died this week, maybe he and the dad hadn't been on the best of terms before this accident took him out. And those are the kind of funerals that are very difficult. And I want to say this. I truly believe this. Because it's something I'm walking in myself. Like, my dad has done he's really done some wonderful things, even in recent years. But there's a lot of things that, you know, I still work through with my inner child. I just do. And he's at a place now, he's in the beginning stages of Alzheimer's, and I realize there are certain conversations we're not going to have on this side. We're just not. There's no point in me saying, let's talk this out, because he's not even capable of doing it. What I do believe is that somewhere on the other side, we'll catch up with each other, and it'll all be fine.
Yeah.
And we'll be at peace with each other. And I feel like I can say that today with confidence, to say if you didn't get everything right on this side, Like you were saying, this is a taste of green beans. We're just here. The scripture says we live our life as a tale that's told. What is it? Psalm 103 says, as for man, his days are as grass, like as a flower of the field, so the wind passes over it, the place thereof knows it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, and his righteousness to children's children. I love being able to say to somebody, best case is to get it all right. I mean, Robert doesn't mind me saying this. Not all of his kids are okay with him. Some of them feel like they have to give him tough love and because they feel like he's living in sin, and bless their hearts, that's what they believe. Not all of his kids, one of his sons here today, not all of his kids believe that way. There's no point, there, you may get it resolved before we all cross over, but if you don't, there is a place, we all came out of God, we'll all end up in God.
Yes.
I don't have the answers for Hitler and Mussolini and
Charles
Manson. I understand the psychological need for thinking those kind of people are in hell. I get it. I understand why people invented a place of punishment to kind of process unspeakable evil. I understand. I mean, even this week it was interesting because Ivana Trump didn't say Roy Moore's name, but she tweeted, there's a hottest place in hell for people that are inappropriate with children. And I thought, boy, that's interesting that no matter where you are, somebody thinks hell's hotter for some people than
not.
And most of that comes from Dante's Inferno, doesn't come from the Bible, because he had his whole novels about the seven circles of hell and all the levels. I don't have all the answers to that. I don't want to talk to you about where's Hitler. All I know is God is good. And you know the old statement, we don't see the world as it is, we see it as we are.
Yeah.
We don't read the Bible as it is. We read it as we are.
It's true.
Now, you were talking about listening to yourself prophesying. And I've told you before, Robert's prophesied things to me that were so accurate, it was just uncanny. But I also remember when I was growing up in the charismatic church, people prophesied or interpreted messages in tongues that sounded like them. Like the people that were just angry at everybody, their prophecies were always, yea, the Lord thy God saith, thou must get thy house in order. Because that was their temperament. That was what they would pick up. There were other people that were like, God just says I love you and I want you to be the best you can be. Because that was the way they were. And there's a new book that just came out about the origin of God. They have found out that people are actually born with a brain chemistry that is wired to believe in a higher power. Like people, it's actually innate in people to want to believe in God. That's why a psalm says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Of course, I did hear a really funny joke. You know, they used to always say, there's no atheist in foxholes. I heard this comedian recently say, you know, I've never believed in God much. Never been a religious person, but recently I was on a plane and this horrible turbulence hit us. And we thought the plane was going to go down. And all of a sudden, I just had the urge to take rights away from gay people. It's like my favorite joke of all time. But but what I was hearing the author of this book interviewed, and he said, even people who say they're atheists, when you interview them, and they describe what they think God should be like, they describe themselves. We see God as we are. So if you're somebody who's prone to forgiveness and want to love people, you're going to see the loving God. If you want to see the God who's destroying the children of Israel and the earth swallowing up, he's in there. Believe me. And those were written by people who were, I mean, you read some of the things that Paul would write. He was just furious at people. And you could see a lot of his theology was born out of his emotion. So now we have enough distance from those words that Jesus spoke. Now we understand why Jesus said, just do this. Love God with all of your heart and love your neighbors you love yourself. Because if you add anything to that, it's just stuff you're making up. It's just stuff that you're deflecting. And I don't care, you can quote verses of scripture and give me chapter and verse and reference. I know that that's the truth. I don't even want to argue with it about it. I just know that that's the truth.
Yes.
But I do believe in God, and I do believe something bigger than us, whether it was my deep calling to your deep or whatever, like we found each other, and I thank God for that. I even thank God, and I saw it in some of the lyrics of your song. I thank God for everybody.
Absolutely.
You know, Jesus said, beware when all men speak well of you. Fortunately for me, I've never had to beware. There's never been a time in my life where all men were speaking well of me. And it actually serves a purpose. It gets on my nerves.
Yeah.
But you know, even when these Roman soldiers, these centurions would come back from battle, they would lead spoils. Like they would, all the prisoners of war, even the animals, they would, behind their chariot, there would be like, the spoils of war. And there would be somebody at the end of it whose sole responsibility was to walk behind and say, you're just a man. Yep. You're just a man.
Yeah.
You're just a man. Mm-hmm. It was to give them some balance because the people believed they were gods.
Yep, right.
And fortunately for me, I know I'm a man because I have so many people who have reminded me of that over the years. So if you think, it's about time somebody reminded me, baby, take a number and get in line. However, the scripture also says, when a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies be at peace with him.
Right.
And both of those things are true. I see both of those things working in my life. So I'm thankful for, honestly, it doesn't mean I like every relationship I've had. It doesn't mean I want to maintain every relationship I have. But I am thankful for every relationship that I have. And even, you know, this week, I'll close with this. This has been a hard year for us. You know, my Ken's dad was diagnosed with leukemia, my mom with Parkinson's, and my dad with Alzheimer's, like in a 3-week period. So we went from them being totally fine to our hands full. And Ken's basically lived with his dad this year. And his father passed away a couple months ago now. And he's still in mourning, and I allow him that. You know what I mean? Because I'm so in the now, there's a part of me wants to say, change your cover photo. It's time to move on with life. But I know he's got to work through that.
Yeah.
And when my dad goes, I may be worse. I may be one of those people that, like, they used to have funerals. I would say black people, but I'm telling you, my white relatives in South Georgia, when people used to die, they'd pass out and call them the casket. Oh, God, don't let go to hell. That wasn't just the black community. That was just...
That's how it
They knew how to have a funeral. They weren't Southern Baptist funerals. They were like, I mean, everybody cried and wailed, and it was horrible. Anyway, but in spite of that, and I think his dad left a little earlier than even he was planning, because he was
almost finished.
You know, he was wanting to bring him home and take care of him, and you know, after we meditated one day, we agreed. We said, let him be at peace. And buddy, he went within a few hours. So. Watch out. You know, there's, I don't know how long that window of time is, but right after we meditate, there's like this
power.
It's this purity. It's like for a few seconds there, anything
I feel like
that.
I'm on this, would you
but
that?
In spite of all that, I'm like really jazzed about the holidays this year. I'm really excited. We listen to Christmas carols all the way out here, and it doesn't matter if I agree with them. I just love the vibe on it. I love the energy on it. I've already put up my tree, and we haven't decorated it yet, but I keep sneaking decorate. Like, this morning he was in the shower, and I was like, let's put a couple more, because I had a real one last year, and this one this year is white, and all these ornaments are going to pop on that, and I'm like, this is going to be the most beautiful tree ever. And I don't even care about company.
We're
not having a party. It's just for me. I just like to look at it and go, and it just brings me that much joy. I actually got up a couple of times in the night, and I just went and stood there and looked at it. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. And I'm so happy that I can feel that. I feel Thanksgiving. I am truly thankful.
Right. Yeah.
I'm happy for Christmas. Look, the situation the world's in right now, Maine was right. We do need a little Christmas, right? And so while we're driving out here, I'm listening to Kelly Clarkson singing Grown Up Christmas List, whatever. And I think, you know, these are beautiful aspirational songs to want to believe, whether you believe a baby was born in a manger, or if it's Scrooge with the three ghosts, or if it's, you know, an angel coming to save George Bailey. It's a time to believe in something bigger than you.
Yeah,
it's a time to believe in miracles. Even this week, I don't know if any of you have been listening to this podcast I've been doing with this Mary Carroll. God is very new to her, so it's interesting what this show is sort of becoming. And She was telling me she loves Christmas. And I said something I never thought about before. I said, even when you put up a Christmas tree, it's a symbol of expectation. Because you're saying, I expect something to be under that tree. I mean, it's really like a sign of faith to say, I'm going to put this up because I believe something. It's like, it's nearly like a magnet to attract good things to yourself. So, keep your bah humbug to yourself. And just enjoy it. I want to enjoy it. We're going to drive up next week and look. They got lights in Rock City. I've been to Rock City a million times. I want to go look at the lights. Oh, that's so touristy. We are tourists. I make no bones about that. Every time we get somewhere, we say, you don't want to go to the tourist parts? I'm like, yeah, I do. That's the part I love the best. I love all the, I don't want all the commercial stuff. I want to, I mean, I love all the commercial stuff. I want to be, aren't there a lot of crowds? Yes. It's a cool place to go. What is wrong with people? Well, there's so many people at the mall. What's your point? It's the most wonderful time
of the year.
That's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful, back to what I originally said, that we can know life isn't just, it's okay. It really is. It's okay. It's not just, it's pretty good. No, life's pretty good. You know, I'm dealing with my, even last night, we took dinner over to my parents, and Mom said, because you know, it gets long, these days get long in between y'all's visits. I said, just be thankful you got this beautiful home. And you sit here, watch this big screen TV, in front of this fine. She said, you know what, you're right. I said, you know, yeah, it gets long, but just thank God for this beautiful home. I'll see you next time. Is it okay? Yeah, it's okay. How is life? It's pretty good. And that's what I wanted to say to you. Is there anything you want to add?
That's awesome. That's beautiful. Thank you. My daughter, Cassie, my son Nathaniel is here. Nathaniel, wave your hand. He's my favorite kid. He always was. He's my oldest son. I had one chronologically older, but he traded me in. So Nathaniel's my oldest son. And what a blessing. My daughter, Kasia, my number two child chronologically, she has a son. Nathaniel, how old is Matthew? He's 12 or 13, and he's been spending time in West Georgia with some of my other family and some of the ones that don't really jihad with me. And he came home, and in a way of making fun of me, he said to her, Mom, Pop doesn't even believe in God anymore. He believes God is love.
Where did you get that?
So she said, I thought about what to say to him, and I said, well, what do you think about that? And he said, well, I think that's dumb. How could you pray to love instead of God sitting on a throne somewhere and asking, how could you even pray to love? That's kind of dumb. And Cassius said, well, did you know that in 1 John it says that God is love? And she said, the look on his face was like, and she said, so that's really, you know, what or who God is love. It's not something that Pop's just made up. But it was a revelation to him to find out that, in fact, God is love. And if God is love, that doesn't reduce God to believe that. It expands God. I'm not trying to believe something less than I always believed about God. I'm trying to believe something greater. Imagine a power and a force. And Jehovah, that's fine. God, that's fine. Universe is fine. Spirit is fine. Father is fine. Pick your name that fits. But imagine a force so big, plus the ones that said the sinner's prayer, but around every single human being that ever breathed air, and the ones that didn't, that never made it out of the womb. Imagine something bigger than what we... That's. I didn't reduce God or quit believing in God. I expanded who God is to me to include... I mean, imagine there's hundreds of billions of galaxies. We're Earth. We're like Horton, here's a who. We're like a speck in the middle of hundreds of billions of galaxies. And we believe that there's a chosen people, the Israelites, that somehow that God who created all that is also looking in your bedroom window to make sure you don't do the wrong thing with your privates. And that's of some importance to a God who's that vast and that amazing now. is worried about whether or not you rolled up tobacco and lit it on fire and smoked it, that that's his main concern, or that you might have drank some fermented juice, that that's what he's all upset about. What a small God that is. And I don't pray anymore, in that sense, to a Jewish guy with a long beard on a chair to ask him to do stuff for me. I don't. I declare things in the name of love. When people say I'm sick, I say, you're better. You're okay. I know that you're okay. And that is prayer. It's bringing it to the source, because I have the power to speak that without asking an unknown, you know. And I don't know what y'all pictured God. To me, God was always a grandpa in a chair with a long, quiet beard and a scowl on his face, basically, who smiled occasionally if you did something good. Only. If it weren't for Jesus, if it weren't for Jesus, you'd have been fried, and he wanted to kill you. If Jesus hadn't intervened. I see Robbie's coming down the hill right there with food. If Scott would, and some of y'all would help bring him that food to the table. He has, please help Boone. He's been sacrificed, and he wanted to be here in service, but he's been swapping stuff in and out of the oven that Sister Brown brought. And so some of y'all help him unload that. And all you bridge people, if y'all brought an offering, see Elaine today, and she'll just take that from you. Thank you. And thank y'all so much for being here and for being part of our lives. Ever since y'all were here the last time, this property felt different to me. When Metron came, y'all, it's like you birthed something on this property. And I was honestly at a place to where I was like, I give up several times a year. It's just part of who I am, is I just quit and throw my hands up. And then it's always a sign that help's coming. And y'all showed up. And I'm telling you, after y'all left, I could feel your energy on this property for days and days and weeks. And I'm already feeling it again. So we even kept some green leaves for you. This time last year, these leaves were gone, but we kept it a little green for you. But I was told last time y'all were here to get a sign. So I bought a sign. It's sitting right there by the gate. But I don't have any letters for it. I lost the letters. But we're progressing. We're making progress. We're going to put in a playground before you come back in the spring or whenever you come back. But please know that my heart is your home, and that I love you very much, and I'm so thankful. It's Thanksgiving week, and I'm so, so thankful this week to be connected to you and to be connected to every other human being. It's on different levels, but you better not love somebody, as my mama would say, her double negatives. You better not love somebody, because everybody's worth loving. We'll close with a declaration, if that's okay. You want me to? I declare that all things are good. I declare that nothing's out of order. I declare that I have a grateful heart. And I am so blessed. And I'm a blessing, because I'm life and love. And everywhere I go, things come alive. Provision flows through me. And I make a difference in everything I do, and everything I say, and everywhere I go, in the name of love. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving.